Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 or on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. The Giants are winners of three straight. They are 1.5 games back of first place in the NFC East, trailing the Dallas Cowboys. And look out, the Philadelphia Eagles playing some good football now as well. The NFC East crown in the realm of possibility. The Giants host the Packers next week, and then the all-important game at MetLife Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys 2 weeks from today. But Lance, let's get to the game at hand, and that is the 24-20 win against the Oakland Raiders. And I feel like we're going to say the same type of things we said after the last two victories against the Vikings and the Eagles. The offense didn't do a whole lot, though the running game much improved, but the defense really, once again, the story yesterday against the Oakland Raiders.
The defense keeps making those game-changing type of plays. They're forcing some turnovers. They're shortening the field for the offense. Terrell Thomas had a huge play, which is nice to see. He seems to be getting his legs back underneath him. But despite all of the good positions that the defense puts the offense in, the offense just can't capitalize. They did get a touchdown off of that Terrell Thomas interception. Andre Brown got in the end zone for that go-ahead score. Outside of that, it has been very challenging, very difficult for the Giants to put together any sustainable long drives. And you would have thought, John, they'd pick up where they left off right before the bye, utilize short passes to the running backs. Did not see a lot of that at all. And Manning tried to throw down the field to receivers. Clearly, that hasn't been working all season long. No surprise there as well.
And once again, protection became a bit of an issue from time to time, keeping Eli Manning upright. And again, I think once again, we saw that lack of protection almost infecting Eli Manning. And I think that was one of the reasons he threw the interception. He felt the pressure, released the ball too early, didn't read the coverage properly, threw the interception. And then later in the game, he had Victor Cruz wide open, which I think would have been a walk-in end zone touchdown play if he completes the pass to Victor Cruz. And really, it was an easy pass. He had pressure coming from the weak side. And look, you're going to get hit either way. You got to stand in there and you got to complete the pass. So clearly, Lance, the passing game's still not in sync. It's not where it needs to be. That still has to get better. But at this point, really, it's 9 weeks now. They've gone through the bye. They've gone through their self-scout. Is it really going to get better at this point? Hakeem Nicks, once again, virtually silent in this game. Just 4 catches, 49 yards. Reuben Randall had the touchdown and the 20-yard pass over the middle in the second quarter. Victor Cruz got a lot of attention once again. But let's give credit to Andre Brown here. 30 carries, so much for easing him into the offense, by the way. That flew by the wayside after Peyton Hillis fumbled the ball yet again. They can't trust him to hold on to the football. Andre Brown is the workhorse, and I think that's what you take out of this game, Lance. They're able to run the ball effectively and consistently. Granted, again, just 3.5 yards per carry. You want to get that better, but I do think you're seeing improvement week to week in this running game. Maybe next week they'll get to 4 yards a carry. They're getting closer, it seems like, every game.
Well, they are making strides, and we saw signs of that right before the bye. Peyton Hillis wasn't getting monster numbers, John, but they were able to run the ball more than about 10 times, and this was more of a bust, and I think that that was on full display against the Oakland Raiders. It's not as if Andre Brown's picking up 10 yards per carry, but for a guy that's been hurt, hasn't had game experience since the preseason, I thought he showed a lot, and that's something that they're going to need moving forward.
I just hope when we get to that injury report on Wednesday, we don't see Andre Brown on it with some type of muscle pull or something like that, considering how much work he got after not playing for 8-9 weeks. So I think that's a bit of a concern, but once again, Payne Hill is fumbling that football. Andre Brown was going to be the guy, and he carried the load. And I want to take you to that one drive that I think was really effective and important for the Giants, and that was that first drive of the fourth quarter. The Giants took over on their own 25-yard line to start the quarter. First and 10, they end up running, 13 plays. They only kick a field goal because the Giants, once again, could not convert in the red zone. But of those 13 plays, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Andre Brown runs, including one big one for 17 yards. And they really relied on the run during that drive, and that got them down the field. And look, if you're not going to be able to complete those big passes down the field, Lance, you have to make something else the staple of your offense. And I think it's pretty obvious the big play is no longer the staple of this Giants offense. Even when they had a chance to make one of those plays, Eli Manning, Victor Cruz not on the same page. Manning throwing the fade, Cruz running the post. So maybe we're down to this Giants team being a fullback with John Connor in the game type of team, bare pass go a tight end, power running game, run play action off of that, and that's how this offense has to work. Because it really seems to be the only thing that gets this team down the field these days. This team is not the Super Bowl team from 2011. It's just not.
Well, if the defense continues to play at the level that it has, you're not going to put as much pressure on the offense. But eventually, John, the offense is going to have to put up a 3-4 touchdown game. You're going to go up against good offenses.
Not
that
next
the defense
week.
Is not going to be able to stop. You're right. They will not be tested against Scott Tolzien, who, by the way, it appears Mike McCarthy has already announced his starter for that game. I thought maybe Green Bay would toy with the idea of bringing in another quarterback now that Aaron Rodgers and Seneca Wallace are both hurt, but it looks like the Packers are not going to try to play any mind games with the Giants, and they're going to go up against a guy that was on the practice squad a few weeks ago.
Once again, the string of poor quarterback play will continue, which this defense feasts on. But again, we talked about it, and we'll get to your calls right now at 201-939-4513. The two big games are November 24th against Dallas, December 1st against Washington. That's going to be the Giants season right there, period. That's it.
Not only will that help you move up in the standings, but also for the sake of tiebreakers, John, you need to get wins in your division. They don't have any wins, right? I mean, they have one win, but it's not an impressive record.
1-2 in the division. That's why I picked out those two NFC East games. Then, of course, that final game against Washington, the Giants will hope that that win will put them in a position to either tie and win a tiebreaker for the division or give them an outright victory. So those are really going to be the three key games the rest of the way.
Real quickly before we get to the phone calls, another facet that we didn't touch on, the Achilles heel, I like to say, of this team, special teams.
Continue to stink. Look, they stink. What can you say? Look, when you
give up,
when you give up all these return touchdowns, you fumble the ball, you put your defense in another bad situation inside the 20, what else can you say? The special teams cannot keep putting you in these holes. Granted, they made up for it. They got a touchdown later in the game with the block punt.
But you
and
can't
the touchdown
rely on
off
that
of
every
that.
Single game.
But look, they got to clean up these mistakes. And look, we talked about earlier in the year, we didn't understand why Michael Cox wasn't doing kickoffs. He was so good in the preseason. I still don't understand it. I know he put the ball on the ground in the one game he got significant carries in. But Joe Jernigan has a long history of ball control issues playing for the Giants. He simply does. You put him back there, he has the tendency to lose the football. Do you go to Cox now, or do you leave Jernigan back there?
Well, the only argument that I would say maybe why they held Cox back was when the running backs were hurt, they didn't want to put him in a position where he could suffer an injury on special teams.
Right.
But now that you have Andre Brown back, let's say you get Brandon Jacobs back in perhaps a week or two and you have Peyton Hillis, what is the need of holding Michael Cox back anymore? You don't really need him as a running back because you have some depth there. So I would say give him the green light, use him on special teams. They've got nothing to lose because aside from not even being able to hold on to the football, John, let's not overlook the fact that when was the last time special teams actually gave the offense good starting field position, too?
All right, let's go to our phones, Lance. We're going to take the callers in the order in which they called at 201-939-4513. That means Dominic in Pennsylvania leads us off on Monday morning off this big win against the Raiders. Dominic, good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Dominic. What's up, pal?
Okay, well, a few positives. I mean, I'm happy with the run game with Andre Brown. He rushed for over 100 yards. What was the final number, like 120-something yards?
Yeah, Brown went 3 for 115. I think Peyton Hillis chipped in 21 yards. They were 38 for 133, 3.5 yards per carry.
Okay, well, I'm happy with that. It's good to see that he got more snaps than what we were alluded to believe he was going to get. To me, special teams showed up just a slight flash of improvement with DeMontre Moore's block punt and Cooper Till's recovery with a touchdown. But they still, special teams really need some improvement. As far as negatives, we have to win the battle on turnovers. Like, I'm not comfortable with Jarrell Jernigan receiving, punt returns. And I actually have a problem with Brandon Myers. I just don't understand why this guy is on the field. And, you know, my question is, are we going to see Adrian Tracy play at all? Adrian Robinson.
Hey, look, Dominic, we're waiting just like you are. I mean, this guy was left on the active roster for 8 weeks, despite the fact he was hurt and couldn't play. We've gone through the bye week. He's healthy now. If you wasted a roster spot for half a season, when this guy's healthy, let's see him play.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, what do we have to lose? And the other thing is, you know, I don't understand. You know, when I'm watching the game, I'm not watching the whole game. I'm watching players on the line, and I saw three or four plays of Brandon Myers just completely missed a blocking assignment. It had to be his blocking assignment because he's the only one in that area where there's a defender coming over the line of scrimmage. And the guy, I don't understand. Like, what? Why can't – is he scared to touch somebody? Like, get in his face, talk about his mother or something. I don't understand why. Like, do something. Distract him. Do something. Put your hands in his face. But anyway, we're really feeling fans are feeling the pain with the release of Martellus Bennett because Bennett is playing. He's having a hell of a year over in Chicago. And I don't understand why we let him go. I understand we had to stay on the salary caps or whatever, but we're hurting at tight end.
Dominic, look, I'm not going to argue with you. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. And, look, Brandon Myers wasn't touted as a blocker coming here. I think maybe we were all kind of surprised that he came here on almost a veteran minimum type of deal and nobody else was interested in him. I think now maybe we're starting to see why they got him at that type of value. The blocking simply is not there.
He's known as a receiver, but when you come to a system like this and you go to a system elsewhere where they expect the tight end to block, there's some shortcomings and there's some red flags that I'm sure other teams saw on Brandon Myers. But when you go back to the salary cap, and Dominic just touched on it, the Giants did not have a lot of flexibility, and that's why the candidates that they would have liked to at least considered were out of their range because they just couldn't pay them what these guys were seeking.
And Martellus Bennett has slowed down, by the way. His numbers have been very, very ordinary the last 3 or 4 weeks. Granted, the Bears have had some quarterback issues too, but yesterday, I think 4 for 35 in the receiving game, something like that.
But also look at it from this perspective. Perhaps now teams are double-teaming him, giving him more attention, and that's opening things up for Alshon Jeffrey and some of the other weapons as well.
Alshon Jeffrey, he's having a heck of a year, huh?
Nice compliment to Brandon Marshall. When you look at last season, it was the Brandon Marshall show, and they were dying to have a wide receiver take some attention away. Now they have Bennett and Jeffrey.
Nice little player.
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Richard in Maryland. Richard, how you doing? Richard, you there, pal?
Yes, I'm here.
Richard, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, Richard. What do you got?
I just want to know, David Wilson, do you think he'll be back on the field to play with the New York Giants again? Because I know they were saying it may be a career ending.
Well, based on the last report we got after the MRI last week, they said while he wasn't ready to come back yet, the injury had shown significant improvement. So I think that's a really good sign. I believe he'll be back with the team next year, and they'll rely on him heavily in the running game. Remember, Mathias Kiwanuka did something similar to this a few years back. He came back from the injury, and he's still playing. So I think that's what you take as almost the model you want to work off of with David Wilson. Right now, based on what I'm hearing, it doesn't appear to be an injury that will end his career now. You know, down the road, who knows if he re-injures it or something. But the tests are getting better. And that's why the doc said the MRI showed a ton of improvement last week. So I wouldn't be too worried about that quite yet.
Okay, good. And one last question. What else do you believe the Giants need to improve on just to keep this win streak going? Because we're 3-0 right now.
Throw the football. Richard, you got to throw the football better. This passing game right now is still anemic. They can't get the ball down the field. They went away from that short passing game. Eli Manning is inaccurate. He made another bad decision on Sunday, and those things have to get better if this Giant team wants to go into Washington to beat the Redskins, if they want to beat Dallas in 2 weeks, if they want to go to San Diego and beat the Chargers. I mean, my goodness, is this Giant team, Lance, seriously, will this Giant team be able to score a point offensively against the Seahawks on December 15th playing like this?
Matt Ryan and the Falcons, who are known as an explosive offense. I know they're missing Julio Jones. Roddy White was back. They had a lot of trouble moving the football. So you're right. I mean, that's a huge concern. If you can't throw the football, if you can't keep defenses on its toes, what are you going to do? It's funny because last season, remember, the Giants offense, and Richard, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. They were known to throw the ball too much and abandon the run because they couldn't run the football. Now this year, they got to lean on the run because they can't throw the football.
You know, I'm very happy, by the way. We haven't gotten a bashing Kevin Gilbride call in quite a while because it's pretty obvious. He's made a lot of adjustments with this offense. People ask for adjustments. They ask for changes. Well, you got them. And he's doing the best he can with what he's got. He's changed the way this offense works for the most part over the course of the season. I think you got to give him credit for that.
Well, everyone was calling in asking for more short passes to the running backs, and we saw that right before the bye. Like I said, not much yesterday, but there at least has been an effort to work that into the system, and there's been more of a dedication to the running game despite the fact that the yardage per carry is not great. Now, all of a sudden, I think yesterday, John, they took a step back with pass protection. It had been shored up somewhat because they had some consistency with the five offensive linemen, but Manning saw a lot of pressure, and that forced him to make some bad decisions. But I think here's the problem that I see with Eli Manning.
In fairness, the Raiders do blitz a lot, though, too.
They
did bring a lot of extra
lot.
Pressure.
Correct, compared to some of the other teams. But down the road, they're going to see another team that's going to see what the Raiders did on film, and they're going to say, okay, this is the way to fluster Manning and get through the offensive line. Manning eventually needs to show me one thing, and I know a lot of you have been calling in and asking for this. Just take the sack. Throw the ball away. It's not necessary. If you really are so flustered by the pressure in your face, why even put it out there so that you give the opportunity for the nickel corner to come over and intercept you? Throw it away. Throw it wide. Throw it out of play. Pick it up. Go for the next down.
Hey, look, and we watched the Cowboy game last night. As bad as Dallas was, what did you see from Tony Romo? When he got the pressure in his face, what did he do?
Threw it away or just got down.
One or the other. Just throw the ball away. Live to fight another day. And look, I know he's tried to do that from time to time. That's how he's gotten his 18 intentional grounding penalties. But a lot of those came from when he waited till the last second to throw the ball away. And then you're stuck in a position where you have to get called for intentional grounding. So you're right. I mean, these turnovers are killers. Look, if the Giants lost that game yesterday, there were two reasons they lost the game. Pick six and the special teams play. It has nothing to do with the defense.
You take away those turnovers, John. The Raiders probably don't even score anything in that first half. All 17 points came off the turnovers. And the Giants' defense probably pitches a shutout if Jernigan doesn't cough up the football. So turnovers, to me, is the biggest storyline from the other day, with special teams being a contributing factor as well as the offense.
Here we go. Raiders' first drive started on the Giants' 5-yard line. The Raiders' second drive started on the Giants' 21-yard line. The Raiders' third drive started on Oakland's 41-yard line after a 41-yard kickoff return. And then the Eagles obviously got the touchdown off the pick six from the Manning with the Porter interception. So there you go. Those first three scores all off of turnovers. The Oakland Raiders did not start in the first half. Wow. Let's see. They have one drive. They started one drive, Oakland, on their own 31. Other than that, it was Oakland's 41, then everything else was deep in Giants territory. Hard to win games that way when you lose in the field position battle like that.
If I'm correct, the one longest drive the Raiders put together, John, I think was the start of the third quarter when they milked the clock for about 8 minutes and change. That was probably their most productive drive where they actually mixed the run and the pass in.
We got the drive summary here somewhere.
I'll bring it up as well.
I got it right here. Drive chart. Raiders, let's see.
Started
14
the third, yeah.
Play, 74-yard drive to get the field goal at the start of the third quarter.
8:04 off the clock. That was by far their most productive drive, and they couldn't even get in the end zone.
And that's when Anchor Earl had that touchdown-saving tackle one-on-one, taking down Rashard Jennings. And the Giants also caught a break when on 3rd-and-1, Khalif Barnes committed a false start penalty.
Then they had a holding after that.
The Raiders took a card out of the Giants' playbook, who, when you know, they like to commit those penalties in the inside the 10, and they were able to hold them to a field goal, which really was a big stop for them. One other thing before we get back to the calls, Lance. We did see a little bit of a step back in the run defense in this game. And you wonder how much of that, if anything, had to do with Sean Rogers not being there.
Jennings had 88 yards, though you look at the numbers the last few weeks, they've kept everybody under about 70. So I don't know how big of a red flag it is.
4.5 yards per carry.
Plus, to me, Jennings also did some damage as a receiver. Not so much necessarily on the ground, and that was expected because he's so heavily involved in both facets of this offense. It is somewhat of an issue, at least based on the performance that the Raiders were able to bring to the table on the ground. But I've got to see it for the next few weeks before we get to the point of saying, oh, my God, the loss of Sean Rogers is going to devastate this team.
No, I'm not implying that, but I believe it probably by the numbers. I can look it up, but just by eye test, it was probably their worst rushing defensive performance since week three against Carolina.
Oh, it was. I know the numbers off the top of my head from looking at them yesterday. Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte, Adrian Peterson. No one, as I mentioned, approached 70.
And again, 4.5 yards per carry. So not great. And I think a lot of that to do with the fact, and we talked about this on the pregame show on the radio, they paid so much attention to Terrell Pryor that they were willing to give up some things to Rashad Jennings. I almost got that factor fiction right, by the way. If it wasn't for Andre Brown, Rashad Jennings would have led all players in yards from scrimmage.
Well, who would have thought Andre Brown would have went for 30 carries, 115? So I think the logic was in check. You got to also consider the fact that in previous games, their goal was keep the running back in check, let the quarterback do whatever he can.
This
With
is
Michael
the opposite.
Vick, this was the opposite against the Raiders. We want to contain Terrell Pryor. We'll take whatever Jennings brings to the
exactly.
team.
Exactly. And he's not a big play guy either. He'll churn out some good yards. I think he's a good running back. I like Rashad Jennings a lot. He's a good player. But you're right. He's not going to kill you with the big plays. While Pryor, who, by the way, was clearly not 100% in this game, you know, a couple times he had the edge, he had lanes to run, and he just couldn't turn into that second gear to get down the field.
Well, he either slipped or he just threw the ball into the ground. You could tell he did not have that eye where he was going to take it up the gut and go with it.
201-939-4513. Hugo's in New Jersey. Hugo, what's up?
Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my call. You must have read my mind this morning. You made a lot of the points. I was going to make the point about the run defense being softer. You know, and I don't know if that's Sean Rogers missing necessarily, but the thing that concerned me there is, you know, the Raiders' offensive line is not a very good offensive line, so to see some of those creases in the run game kind of gave me a little bit of concern, but we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, and Hugo, by the way, I think you were the one that asked me last week with the Sean Rogers injury why they decided to IR him. Me and Lance had a chance to talk to Hanlon before the game about that, and basically Rogers has a chronic knee injury. And even after the bye week, he was barely able to practice on Wednesday. So they really think even if they were able to manage the injury and get him to play a little bit in the second half, it would have been on an extremely limited basis, and it really was going to hamper him the entire season. So that's why they decided to put Rodgers on IR.
Okay. That wasn't just activating.
Correct,
okay,
yes.
Actually, that's good to hear. You know, John, you kind of hit on this as well. You know, earlier in the year, we were extremely soft on offense, at least when the 53-man roster was put together. And you do have to give the coaching staff some credit because they're trying like heck to create some toughness on offense with Connor, Pasco, the bigger backs. And now I've noticed kind of they're even bringing in a jumbo tackle package with Brewer. When they do that, I focused in on Brewer. He's a bit of an enigma. Sometimes, you know, when he gets his hands on his man, he just neutralizes, sometimes even caves him in, which I found impressive. But at times, he's a tick slow off the snap. I don't know if he just needs more reps or what the issue is, but when he does get on his man, he has some physicality, which is at least one positive thing.
Inconsistent at best, Hugo. James Brewer has to get better. And right now, when the Giants make all these changes in the offseason, and changes are going to happen because of age, injury, and free agency, right now, they're not going to hand James Brewer a job. They're going to bring somebody else in. He's going to have to earn that job in the offseason.
Yeah. And guys, going back to some of our conversations last week, early in the game when we got away from the short passing game and it looked like the Raider defensive line was once again overrunning our offensive line, you know I had those flashbacks to the Carolina game that we talked about last week. So thank goodness we were able to reverse that somewhat. Hey, I want to talk about our special teams a little bit, you know, beyond the obvious problems. The thing that was most troublesome to me was our kickoff coverage. We look like we just, you know, weren't going in there very aggressively against the blockers. And the reason that's troublesome is because that's about attitude and effort and aggressiveness. You know, sometimes young players make mistakes, but to see those kickoffs come out really is really troublesome. I mean, it almost feels like on special teams we have a one-man gang and DeMonte Moore, who's all energy and aggressiveness, and then just a bunch of guys running around and just kind of nonchalantly, so that really bothers me. John, I'd like to add to your point about I'd like to see Michael Cox as well as kickoff returner. I don't really like Reuben Randall as the punt returner. I know ball security is number one, but you know sometimes it looks like he has a little bit of space and he just doesn't have the quicks, you know, the quick twitch to do anything with it.
He looked slow yesterday. He looked slow yesterday.
Yeah, he's a long strider. I'd like to see Charles James back there. I mean, he looked good in the preseason. They ought to work with that kid and see if we can make an improvement there. But those are my three observations from defense, offense, and special teams.
Well, Hugo, the one thing I would add and appreciate the phone call is that I think there's more of a glaring need to shore up the coverage on the punt returns more so than kickoffs. I think they've been better on kickoffs than punt returns, and even you add in the fact that Steve Weatherford struggled, and I know the wind probably was a factor, but there was one where he had a 27-yard punt that went out of bounds, and the Raiders started right around midfield. You can't give that to any opponent.
You know, Lance, it's funny. I want to turn back the clock here for a second, and I want to take us back to when we were hosting one of these shows back in late August. We made the point, boy, the Giants have so many options for kick return and punt return, and not just guys, explosive guys that can make big plays, and we haven't seen any of that. Not a damn thing.
Well, special teams, I feel like we've been having this conversation, John, for multiple seasons since Dominic Hixon left.
Yeah, but I feel like we had options this year. The team had options to put somebody back there that can make some plays and be explosive, like a Charles James, something like that. But, you know, injuries cut into that, ball security issues cut into that. And, look, Ruben Randall is just simply, as he said, he's fast, straight ahead. But he's a long strider. He doesn't have those quick twitch side-to-side juke moves to be an effective punt returner that can make big plays.
Though, you know what? He showed that to me a little bit when he caught the ball the other day. He was zigzagging. He eluded a couple of Raiders defenders.
Here's the difference. Caught the ball in motion. He's not starting and stopping.
That's a good point. They've gotten away from what worked in the preseason. They were very confident in the Jameses of the world and the Michael Coxes of the world, and for some reason, all of a sudden, because guys got hurt, as you mentioned, and the depth chart wasn't what it was back in the preseason, they've, you know, kept guys back, and they've relied on their everyday starters. Now, I would think you have to reassess the situation and say, you know what, the regular guy is just not getting the job done. Let's maybe toy with the idea of going back to what was somewhat effective during the preseason.
201-939-4513. Otherwise, I think, Hugo, you're all over it. We lost Keith. So we're going to go to Russell down in Kentucky. Russell, what's going on?
What's going on, man? It's probably my last time calling y'all for 9 months. I leave on the 19th.
Where are you going, Russ?
Going to Kuwait, getting deployed.
Russ,
well, thanks for your service.
Thank you
Russ.
For your service, and best of luck, and stay safe, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been watching the Giants lately because, you know, I've been doing the military thing, but 3-6, man, 3-6. Kind of pissed off right now. I understand.
You won three in a row, Russell. Come on. You can at least enjoy the three straight wins.
No. 3-6 is pitiful. They should know better than that. I hear the David Wilson injuries. I hear the offensive line. I mean, they had all preseason to fix this. There's no excuse. Putting back Jacob. I'm like, Hill's running back. I'm sitting there shaking my head. Eli, when I come back, Eli better get his mind right. Stop with the interceptions. We got, I don't know. We still got opportunity. They got to beat the Cowboys. That's what I'm looking at. They got to beat the Cowboys in New York. They got to do it. That's it. If they don't beat the Cowboys, they're not going to play.
Russell, every year it seems to come down to a giant Cowboy game in November and December, and the winner of that game usually has the beat on the division, and I think that's going to be probably the same exact deal this year.
Yep, that's it. They got to put their money where their mouth is when they play the Cowboys. I don't care what they do. I can't stand the Cowboys. They have to beat the Cowboys this season. I'm watching.
Well, first they got to get past the Packers, Russ. First they got to get past Green Bay before they can focus on Dallas. But you're definitely hit it right on the nose. They got to take care of business also in the division as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was good to talk to y'all for the last. I'll be listening to y'all overseas.
Yeah, Russ, just tune in, Giants.com, also on the mobile app. Check it out. So we'd love to have you listen, and thanks again for your service. It was Military Appreciation Day yesterday at MetLife Stadium. And for all you guys out there like Russell that are overseas serving our country, we, of course, thank you for your service, and God bless you, and be safe.
As today is Veterans Day, and we know a lot of people do follow this team overseas, and we appreciate their listenership and hope that they can continue to stay safe. And even if this provides some excitement and some distraction, we hope that we can provide that for you moving forward.
An outlet of entertainment.
Absolutely.
And one of those guys is Victor, who hails from Texas, but he is overseas as well. Victor, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't want to change that. You know, I kind of like that. Victor in Texas instead of Victor in Seoul, Korea.
All right, Victor in Texas it is. What's up, Vic?
Hey, guys. I'm going to give you my good, bad, and the ugly on this game.
Sure.
The good is the defense. Looked at the defense, DeMontre Moore. I mean, is he not showing us that he needs to get more reps in the regular rotation? I mean, the guy just comes up big in all aspects of the game, you know.
Well, Victor, in fairness, though, DeMontre has been a big part of the punt coverage, and the punt coverage, and he's been a part of that, hasn't exactly been stellar.
Well, he's scored points for us. I mean,
that's
he
fair.
He blocked a punt. He scored some, and he's always getting into the blocking punts and stuff like that. I mean, he's just being disruptive. I think we need to get him in that that defensive line. Get him mixed in with the veterans.
Victor, I will say this though: DeMontre Moore still has some work to do in learning and understanding what it takes to be an NFL player in terms of mentally being prepared, in terms of physically putting the work in to be prepared. There is still some work to do there with DeMontre Moore.
And cutting out the mistakes as penalties, which was an issue earlier this season.
Oh, most definitely. But as a rookie, as a guy first coming in the league, you want to get him in there, get his feet wet, throw him in there, just let him swim a little bit is all I'm saying.
I got you.
The good is the defense. You know, the Giants actually held them down there at the goal line. I mean, that was something good. And Antrel Roll is just balling. I mean, that guy, he is quote unquote, you know, the piston in our engine, getting the Giants defense pumped up. Now, the bad always goes back to the offense. I mean, explain to me why do I see in jumbo packages? And one gentleman brought up James Brewer. I mean, the guy whiffed. I saw that, and that's when Andre Brown got crushed in the backfield. But tell me, why do we take out Connor and put in Pascoe? Pascoe gets blown up. He's not a true fullback. I mean, I don't understand why we take out Connor and put in Pascoe in those plays.
Honestly, also, Victor, neither do I. I happen to agree with you there. I don't quite understand it either because Connor is by far the better lead blocker, and Pascoe's a good in-line blocker. So I think you're hurting yourself in two ways when you do stuff like that.
Exactly, right? And also, when you look at the line pass block, I always see this. I always see Will Beatty, okay, you know how you're supposed to pass a guy off, right?
Yeah.
If you know the immediate threat's up the middle, you're going to stick with that guy. But then if you see your guy, you know, he's able to handle it, you pass off and you find someone else to block. He doesn't notice that, and a guy just came right past him and just was about to take Eli's head off, and Eli just panics in the pocket. I think the offensive line still needs to get a lot better in that aspect. Now, the ugly is, and I don't believe I'm saying this because I thought he was one of the sure things we had on the team, was our punter, Weatherford.
He had a bad game.
God.
Bad game.
He had a bad game. And I'm looking at him kicking. I was always saying to myself, you know, this is something that's going to be sure right now. You know, Weatherford's going to do the job. He shanked a lot of punts. I mean, he just didn't look like himself. I mean,
Victor, honestly, that was maybe the windiest day we've ever had at MetLife Stadium, and I think it got in his head, and he thought about it too much. And you're right. He shanked, I think, 3 punts. He was terrible, and I think the wind got in his head, and I think it screwed him up.
And two things I want to leave you with, guys. The time of possession we had was 32 minutes. Our total yards was 251 yards. But another bright spot we had was we only had one penalty for 5 yards.
Yep.
That was a bright spot in the game, one penalty for 5 yards.
That was a huge bright spot considering they had 16 over the last 2 games, and those were self-inflicted wounds. That was a big reason why they struggled so much in the red zone,
because
every time they were taking a step forward or two, they'd all of a sudden have a penalty, and then they would have to take 2 or 3 steps back. So that was definitely a number that jumps off the page, what Victor brought up with just one penalty, because you got to cut that out, and you got to cut the turnovers. If you don't, you give gifts to your opposition.
And Victor, thanks for the call. Happy Veterans Day to you and all our soldiers out there, active and retired, on this Veterans Day, second Monday in November, which it always is. And a lot of people off from work today, which is great, but we're doing a great job on the phones. Everyone's still calling in.
And getting back to the Steve Weatherford point, John, to me, it's been a very rough season overall for him.
Up
and
down.
This is not just a one-game thing.
In fairness, I think the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's been very good. He had some issues earlier in the season. I think a couple times he's been unfairly blamed for some of these punt returns that have gone for touchdowns. I think he's done a pretty good job, but he certainly has not been as consistent as he was last season.
And that's another area to the special teams. You expect to rely on a punter that's going to put it out of harm's way and not allow the opposition for a good return.
And, you know, the kick coverage on kickoffs has actually been very good this year until the big Cordarrelle Patterson return against Minnesota. Taiwan Jones had the big return this week. So now even the kick coverage is getting a little iffy here. So, I mean, Josh Brown has at least been pretty consistent with his field goals since, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks have gone by. So that's really the strength right now. But look, even Zach Diossi's snapping balls over punters' heads. I mean, you could point to a million different things on this special teams. Everybody's on this list.
You can't point to just one individual. You're right. Really, everyone takes full blame on this situation. The returners, the snappers, the punters, the kickers, it's all over the place. And that's a big issue. You know, if it's one guy here or there, that's not difficult to at least make corrections. You can make substitutions. You can put a guy in a different position. But it's everywhere. I mean, Tom Quinn has to deal with all facets within the special teams. It's got to be a huge headache. Special teams has never been a strong suit for this team, dating back the last few seasons. So it's not as if this is a huge surprise. But I don't think we've seen it to the level where everyone is having breakdowns.
At least the coverage has been good the last couple of years. And that's broken down this year as well. And you just can't have it. It loses your football games. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Happy Veterans Day to everybody.
You too, Steve.
Well, listen, first of all, I wanted to wish a happy Veterans Day to Russell. I'll feel him more on his sentiments about the Dallas situation. We definitely need to handle our business as far as that's concerned. I tell you, I'm just a little bit tired of, the cardiac, ref games. I had the AED on standby. I'm just really kind of taken back why we keep on having Jernigan back there returning kicks. I believe we need to put Cox back there, and it disturbs me every time I look back there. Him or Miranda, quite frankly, I really believe you could probably put, Will Hill back there. I know he's returning kicks at Florida. I believe he has. I mean, we have a lot of athletes. It just seems like.
Well, Charles James is the easy one on punt. Just put Charles James back there. He did it in the preseason, too.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm going to try to start it off positive. And I just want to say this. The only time we ever hear Perry Fuel's voice his name is when it's something negative. And I think we need to give him a lot of credit for what the defense has been doing all year long. And, we've had injuries on the defense as well, and we've had, young guys mixed in with veterans and so forth. And I think, we need to really give our defense, a lot of, props for doing what they've been doing. Because, quite frankly, we wouldn't even be, just talking about a win today without them. So, Perry Fuel, the defense, thank you. It was a tough one. But let's talk about the offense. Because that's all I want to do is see the Giants get better, And, to me, I was glad to see that Brown was able to make it through the game, but I was just kind of disturbed that we ran him so hard after being off for so long.
Big risk.
I know Hillis, put the ball on the ground, but, he's here. We got to use him. We should, we got to give Brown, a rest. We got to keep Hillis' confidence up for when we're going to need him down the stretch. I just don't understand. It's not the time to be, I don't even know if you call it micromanaging the game, but it seems like disciplining people during the middle of the game, really hurting the team because we need to help us. We won the game, but I don't like that. I just don't like, he put the ball on the ground. I don't like it. I didn't want him to be here in the first place, but he's here. He can be, he can help this team, and we need to use him. So, let's cut the crap. I just don't get it.
Funny, Steve, I don't mean to cut you off. It's funny you brought that up because it does seem that that's been a trend surrounding this team in recent years. And maybe it's just because right now the margin for error is minute and they just don't have the level of patience. But when David Wilson fumbled the ball in his first career opportunity, he was immediately benched. Michael Cox gets an opportunity. He coughs up the ball. They pull him. Peyton Hillis gets more opportunities. And now Hillis coughs up the football, and they immediately turn back to Andre Brown. So, that's been all over the place. It's not just one running back, and they're not handling the veterans different from the rookies. You cough up the football. You put the football in harm's way. They can't afford to have the turnovers pile. Therefore, they're going to turn to the next running back on the depth chart.
I know, guys. I understand that. It just And that's what the frustration comes from. We keep doing that, but I just think that we're hurting these guys' confidence and in turn hurting the team more than we're, you know, we're helping the team.
Well, but Steve, in fairness, and once again, did not mean to cut you off. We'll let you continue. But do you really need to worry about confidence of players in the NFL? I love it when people bring that up. I mean, these are adults here. You know, they don't need to be baby-fed. We don't need milk and cookies and put them in the corner and make sure that they're okay.
Absolutely. I'm sorry to cut you off, but absolutely. Yes, I'll tell you, D1, let me tell you something. You get out there, you get hit a few times, you're going to need something to keep you going out there. But, you know, it's, you know, you see it in the defense, too. I mean, they stopped, you know, early on. They weren't game-tackling the way they were. As soon as they gave up the touchdown, everybody's, you know, not just confidence in the self-confidence in the team, putting themselves on the line play by play. You know, they're not selling in play by play. I mean, the defense kind of let up early as well because, you know, we had that early, you know, turnover and turned into a touchdown. I definitely think that, everybody has motivated and they're professionals, but, you know, you get hit out there play by play, you need to be able to sell in to every single play.
Well, I would agree with you that if you do have a turnover and you lose the football, as a player, you're hungry and you want to get back in there to quiet the skeptics and prove the coach is right. And if they pull them, they don't have the opportunity to do so. So I can completely understand where you're coming from, but I just don't think that they need to baby feed these guys so that all of a sudden, you know, they could be petted and stroked to make sure that their confidence level doesn't go downhill. No, that's at least where I'm coming from.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
But I just want to say I don't know what's going on with Eli, guys. I mean, if he had a, you know, we still have the same quarterback coach. I mean, we got to make better decisions, and something needs to be done. Our offensive line certainly could play better, but you know, Kevin Gilbride could be making, you know, calls again to build Eli's confidence. If he said, if you're going to tell me his confidence isn't shook, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy, and I think that's part of the big problem. We know he has all the skill. And, I mean, you can say confidence in itself, confidence in the offensive line, confidence in everything that's going on in the field. And at some point, the coaches need to be locked. But, you know, we need to tighten that up. So I'm glad we got a win. You know, that's the best thing about winning, ugly is winning. So thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call. And
thanks,
I'll be listening off there. Have a good one.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much.
You know, Lance, I'm just surprised. You really don't think that you have to worry about these guys' confidence. You have no idea the lengths that I go to make sure your confidence remains high
this
for this radio
down.
Pre- and post-game
show.
Why
did I open up Pandora's box? Thanks, Steve.
You know, you said in your request you have to be in a room that's all in white before every broadcast to settle your mind. You need to have only the blue M&Ms in the bowl so you can eat those before
separated.
The broadcast.
Correct.
You know, you have to have your special mix of your Coca-Cola, your Pepsi Next with the ginger ale, combine them into one. These are the things that I do to make sure your confidence stays high. Make sure you always tell you do a good job, lest you get down on yourself and your performance suffers. I mean, you're very high maintenance. I figured you can relate to some of these athletes.
I do. I have needy demands. I will leave it at that. Now that you've provided all the details, the cat's out of the bag. I can't hide anymore. I like the waters also set up in their proper spot.
I mean, I chauffeur you back and forth from the city. Oh. I mean, all these things.
I need to be well-rested to perform at the level that everyone demands.
201-939-4513. Bill is down in Dallas, and Bill, I'm sure, has a big smile on his face today with all these Cowboy fans holding their heads quite low after getting destroyed by the Saints last night. What's up, Bill?
Gentlemen, I loved it. If you looked at that game last night, Romo quit at the end of the fourth quarter. He just quit.
Well, frankly, why was Romo even in the game at that point? I didn't understand that.
I don't know. But anyway, my Giants won. I remember I talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I said my flag was at half mast, upside down. Well, today it's right side up all the way to the top. And I'm a 22-year veteran in the Marines, and I'll tell you what, I took my Marine Corps flag down just to get my Giants flag up so the neighbors would see it.
Happy Veterans Day, Bill.
Thank you. But anyway, look, I just got a couple of questions, guys, and then I'll let you answer it. I'll hang up and let you answer it. Number one, I didn't think Brown was run too much. I actually thought Brown got exactly what Brown wanted to do. And what a breath of fresh air for us finally. Okay? So here's what I want to throw at you, and then I'll let you guys answer it, and I'll hang up. Number one, I still think our secondary has kind of given up too many damn yards on third down plays. And number two, what happens to our backfield now with Jacobs, Brown, Hillis, and Wilson? And Thanks for taking my call, guys, and I'll let you guys answer it, okay?
Thanks, okay, Bill. Thanks so much for weighing in. In terms of the running back rotation, I think Andre Brown is probably going to emerge as the go-to guy. Jacobs is still a question mark because keep this in mind, Giants fans. He's got the hamstring issue but also now the knee issue. So there's really no definitive timetable as to when he'll be back. So I think right now the team's approach is Peyton Hillis and Andre Brown. How do we best get the level of production that we want out of the running game by utilizing both of them? And I don't think it's going to be a one-man show like it was yesterday where it was so lopsided in terms of Brown 30 and Hillis 5. But the Giants have a tendency, John, to ride the hot hand. And Brown even talked about this after the game. I don't think they went in to yesterday's contest saying we're going to give Brown 30, we're only going to give Hillis 5. But there was some momentum that they were building with Brown utilizing the football. So therefore they said, you know, we're just going to keep him in. Moving forward, I think they want to try to get more balance. But if Brown stays healthy, and he hasn't necessarily proven to do that during the course of his career, I expect to see a lot of him and then Hillis maybe more in those third down situations, short down situations.
Start rapid firing through some of these calls. By the way, Peyton Hillis had a bad missed block on pass protection earlier in that game, whiffed on that safety coming down from the box. I believe it was Usama Young that he whiffed on coming down to get a sack on Eli Manning early in that
and
game.
And that's another factor that has to be weighed into which running back will get right. the most time. Pass protection. Because remember, Kevin Gilbride, when he spoke to the media this week, John, mentioned Andre Brown, things that were natural before the injury weren't as natural in the weeks leading up, but that's going to, you assume, get better as he gets more games under his belt.
Let's rapid fire through some of these phone calls. Stick in Dallas and say what's up to Mike. Mike, what's going on, pal?
How you guys doing? Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, Mike.
A couple things here. One, I just want to say it seems like Eli Manning's confidence this year is more shaken than others. You know, the one thing the Giants can always do is pass block, and we can't do that now.
Yeah, I think, so, Mike, his confidence is shaken in the offensive line, and that has affected a lot of his play. It really has.
Well, you know, when he threw that pick six yesterday, it seemed like, you know, he had a little more time than most of the times. You know, I mean, I've seen Eli get his head kicked in, you know, NFC Championship game with the Niners. And, you know, it didn't seem to affect him. This year, it's just game after game after game, and it affects him.
I don't disagree. So, I think you're right on the money, Mike.
So, you know, because why is it every time our defense is great one year, our offense struggles, and vice versa?
I don't know.
Why can't we put a full season together? And another thing I wanted to ask you guys, how do we justify assigning Akeem Nicks next year when he's not producing? I can't see spending $10 million on the guy when Reuben Randall clearly outplays him.
Well, I'm not, you know, well, first of all, I'm not sure that Reuben Randall has clearly outplayed him the whole year, number one. Number two, I mean, it's tough because if you lose Akeem Nicks and Randall's number two, then who's your third guy that's going to threaten teams in the passing game? I honestly think right now, if I had to guess, even with his, you know, I would say subpar production for Akeem Nicks, I think they'll probably franchise him, keep him around one more year, and then make a call on him long-term after this year. I do not believe, however, that they will be able to come to an agreement with him on a long-term contract. I don't think that'll happen in the offseason.
What do you think is going to happen with our offensive line? You know, if we can get a top-notch offensive lineman and we're up against the salary cap, I wouldn't want to keep Nicks at this point. You know, draft another receiver, get him ready. Let's go with what we got.
Well, you should have some money here to re-sign Nicks and maybe get another top-flight offensive lineman on top of that, to be quite honest with you. You don't have to pay quite as much money for some of the better center and guards out there. I think the Giants might be able to pull something like that off.
Yeah, let me just say, I've been happy to hear, you know, we haven't been crushing Gilbride this lately. You know, Gilbride can't block. You know, he's not a line coach. He's not, you know, he's adjusted accordingly. And I hear our line coach is great, but I don't know what's going on with that.
All right, Mike, appreciate the call.
I'll hang up and just let me know.
Thank you, man. And look, Pat Flaherty is widely considered and regarded as a top offensive line coach in the NFL. And look at how he's kept this group together over the last 9-10 years with some moving parts in the last 3 or 4, and he's maintained them as being one of the better offensive line units in the league, at least when it comes to pass protection. Now, this year, have the wheels fallen off just a little bit? Sure, but, you know, some guys have gotten older. You try to bring a rookie in and start him from day one, which is always a problem. You know, none of the rookie offensive line really this year are playing all that well, except for Travis Frederick up in Dallas. Everyone else is really having their struggles. I think Kyle Long's actually playing pretty well, too.
For the Bears.
For the Bears in his rookie year. But all the tackles that are rookies have really had some troubles. Even Chance Warmack has had a terrible year for Tennessee. He was a top 10 pick. And the other guy, Jonathan Cooper from North Carolina, he's out for the year with an injury. So for all these first-round offensive linemen that got picked this year, a lot of them haven't played all that well.
And let's not forget the top two, Jokel and Derek Fisher, both hurt as well in terms of the injuries that they've had to battle.
And Lane Johnson's been up and down at best for the Eagles.
So, you know, you're not guaranteed to get a Pro Bowler out of your top pick, even if you go the route of an offensive lineman.
But look, taking Eli Manning's poor play aside, and that is obviously on the top of the list in terms of the reasons why the Giants haven't done as well offensively, I think it goes down to the offensive line. That's number two. Number three to me is the fact that Nix and Reuben Randall aren't dominating one-on-one matchups like you would like to see them dominate. And then you have the inconsistent running game with the injuries to the running backs. I think if you have three reasons why or four reasons why the offensive is struggling, that's why. And you can throw in bad tight end play, too. That's five. So you have, let's see, poor tight end play. Two wide receivers aren't doing as well as you would have thought. Running back issues. Quarterback not playing one. Offensive line not blocking. That's every single position group on the offense. It's every single one.
Hard to have a productive offense when you take into consideration all those factors. And I'm looking at Twitter, and I appreciate everybody for chiming in using hashtag GiantsChat. And you can also interact with the both of us at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, and at Schmelk. S-C-H-M-E-E-L-K. See, you thought I was going to go the route of just promoting myself.
See, I have the two vowels. You just have the one.
There you go. And you can't take into consideration that everybody knows how to spell your name correctly.
I mean,
consecutive even though you're
vowels.
All over Giants.com
because
as it is.
You would think anyway. Lance Meadow was M-E-A-D-O-W,
see,
but it's
now
not.
You're catching on.
Yes.
That's why the necessity to spell it.
Anyway, get to your point.
Well, the point I was saying is a lot of people are questioning what's wrong with Eli Manning. Why do the interceptions keep tallying? What's happening? What do they need to do wrong? What do they need to do right here? I think that you summed it up perfectly. You have to take into consideration Eli Manning's decision-making has been bad, but you know, if you don't have a consistent running game, you have an offensive line that some games gives you protection, other games doesn't, your quarterback is going to be inconsistent. Look at Matt Ryan, for example, this season. Look at Ben Roethlisberger. They have similar issues that they've had to contend with.
Joe Flacco, Tom Brady, go down the list. A lot of quarterbacks that people assume are going to have big years this year have not. Colin Kaepernick, another example. RG3, though I think that has more to do with his knee issues than I think anything else. But look, a lot of these quarterbacks this year that people expected to have monster years haven't exactly turned that expectation into production.
But if you get back to the bigger picture here, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have had previous success, and I think you need to throw Eli Manning in that category. So that's why you need to consider the Ben Roethlisbergers, guys that have won Super Bowls, taken teams
Flacco,
on
Ryan,
long runs.
Brady.
Exactly, yeah. As opposed to the rookies. Because when you throw in a rookie and you're like, well, why is this rookie coming in and thriving and Eli Manning can't do it after X amount of years? Well, it's unfair to throw a rookie into the same conversation because the rookie is unproven. He's also catching defenses off guard because he's new to the league, so defenses right. have to adjust on the fly.
And how many times have we seen guys have a good rookie year and then their sophomore year they've been pretty poor?
Cam Newton's
a perfect example.
And now he's regrouped. Right. So there's trends in terms of quarterbacks having a good year followed by a bad year and then all of a sudden turning things around.
I'd say Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck probably among those second year guys have been the best.
They have not fallen off. Though Wilson got off to a very sluggish start. They had to rely on the defense in the running game earlier this year.
With the touchdowns. He has moved the ball fairly well, but you're right. I think Luck started faster than Wilson, but I think Wilson's come on very strong the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been excellent.
They have been playing much better, the Seahawks, and that's a big reason why they only have one loss.
And now Percy Harvin could be back next week, too. They've worked him back very slowly on purpose, and they're going
to
unveil Percy Harvin pretty soon, and boy, that offense is going to be tough to handle with Harvin.
Well, this NFC West race, not to get completely off topic, is going to get maybe just as interesting as the NFC East because the Niners, remember, Manningham was activated the other day. He played, didn't play a big role, but it's understandable. He's still trying to get reacclimated to the system. And Michael Crabtree is now also going to return because he's been cleared to practice. So both teams are getting new weapons to the receiving corps.
And how about that big win for the Panthers yesterday, beating the San Francisco 49ers? And all of a sudden, Carolina, they're right there in the mix, excuse me, for a wild card spot here at 6-3. And all of a sudden, that Giant loss to them in Week 3 doesn't look that bad. Because they're playing some darn good football. They're playing really good defense. Their pass rush has been consistent all year. Their secondary, despite all the injuries, has played pretty darn well. And Cam Newton's played better this year. Has he been great? Is he still a little inconsistent? Sure, but he's been better. And he's played good football. And look out, the Carolina Panthers could find themselves playing in January.
Carolina and Philadelphia's defenses are probably the two units that I have seen the most improvement of, and they're two teams that the Giants actually have gone up against this year. Part of it, I think, is because you're getting some movable parts earlier in the season. Guys are trying to get adjusted to the system. Once you get four or five consecutive games with the same personnel on the field, then things start to turn around. The same thing can be said about this Giants team. Beeson comes over, Will Hill off the suspension, Ryan Mundy a little bit healthier, Antrel Roll not having to move around. What does that do for the defense? Now there's consistency. When you move guys in and out, you're going to have up and downs in terms of the performances.
I'd say this, and I'm very confident in this, actually. In my opinion, your six NFC playoff teams this year will be whomever wins the NFC East. That I'm not confident in.
Nobody wants it.
I believe the Detroit Lions will win the NFC North. I actually think they're playing pretty good football on both ends. Calvin Johnson's healthy again. I like the Lions. Joique Bell, Reggie Bush, nice running back combination. I like Detroit to win the NFC North, and I feel pretty good about it too, considering the Aaron Rodgers injury. I think the Bears will probably be in the mix, but I like Detroit with that big win in Chicago yesterday. That was really a huge win.
Plus, Cutler's hurt again now.
Obviously, I like the Saints to come out of the NFC South, and I think you'll see the Seahawks and 49ers come out of the West, and I think that's your, those are your six NFC playoff teams.
Well, we know with confidence two teams are not coming out of the NFC East. I think that's safe to say.
Right. And it looks like you're not going to have two teams come out of the NFC South, unless the Carolina Panthers continue to put this run together. A lot of people thought, you know, the Falcons this year will be very good. Julio Jones injury, they haven't played as well. So I think you're going to get two out of the West, and you'll get the two out of the South with the Panthers and the Saints, and you'll get one out of the North and one out of the East. That's my guess.
Well, this is what's going to make or break Carolina's season. I just brought up their schedule because I was curious who they have still ahead. They've got two games still with the Saints, so the division is still very much within their grasp, though that's going to be tough. But they have the defense, I think, to fluster New Orleans to some degree. They've got a game against New England coming up next week. That's going to be another tough test.
Is that Monday night?
Yes, that is a Monday night game.
That'll be a good one.
And I'm sure the NFL is pretty happy about that choice now, looking back.
A lot better than Tampa, Miami tonight.
I know, you're a big downer on this game.
Who do you think the second NFC wild card team is going to be, after the Niners?
I think Carolina is a reasonable choice, to be honest.
I think Carolina or Chicago. I think those are the two teams that'll fight for it.
Chicago is definitely going to be in the mix, assuming that Josh McCown could keep his level of play if Cutler misses more time. Remember, he re-aggravated the groin injury.
They brought
him back. Was not able to finish that game.
They brought him back too quick.
Well, McCown is a big reason why they're still even in position of contention.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So let Cutler get healthy and bring him back when he's 100%. It doesn't make any sense. It was a stupid decision.
And the funny part is, if you go back to Cutler's quotes during the course of this week, John, he said the same exact thing. He said, I'm not going to rush back because of the way McCown's playing.
So he rushes back.
He rushes back.
201-939-4513. Sorry for getting off topic there for a second, folks. Erie is down in Puerto Rico. Erie, what's going on?
Hey, brothers. How you doing? Good morning.
Good to hear from you, Erie. What's up?
I just want to point out before anything, I think you guys are doing a great job because you have the one-on-one with the fans, and that's the most important thing because, like, for me, I barely get to see the games because of my job,
right.
And I keep myself updated with you guys, and I have the Giants app, so, you know, you guys are doing a terrific job. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in, Erie. We appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Actually, mostly the same things. I think the special teams needs to polish up a little bit.
A little bit.
I think a lot, actually. And Eli, I think if maybe he just sat down with his brother for a while, I think maybe out of the experience, maybe he could get a little bit of info back and maybe clean up, you know, this year or something, because the dude really needs to get, back on track. But for the most part, that's mostly the problem. And then the secondary, you know, needs to clean up a little bit around the edges. But for the most part, that's basically, you know, what's going on. I think that's what's going on with the Giants.
You're right. There's been a number of issues, Erie, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Glad that you can listen from afar where your job is, there's been, listen, numerous things that have just plagued this team. And every week it seems like we bring up a new thing to the discussion. Special teams, to me, has been an issue from week one. The defense was an issue to start this season. That has at least improved. And the offense has been erratic, and that may be a kind word, because there's been games where they've had some success through the air. Very few. There's been games where they've had a bright spot on the ground. Outside of that, you really can't take away a stretch, even during this winning streak where they've consistently done the same things each and every game. And if they want to be a playoff team and they want to be back in contention with the Cowboys, the Eagles, to me, which have all of a sudden become a very dangerous team, you've got to put together winning streaks, which they're doing now. But you've also got to show that the things you're doing to win a game one week, you're bringing back to the table the following week.
At least, except for that one Eli pick yesterday, and I can't erase that away, it's there. They haven't beaten themselves as much. They had no turnovers against Philly, no turnovers against Minnesota.
But now.
And only the one yesterday. The two yesterday, the Payne Hillis fumble too, excuse me.
Well, they had two turnovers against the Vikings and the Eagles, but it was only against special teams.
Correct.
It had
wasn't
nothing
on the
to
offense.
Do with offense or
Correct.
Even defense
right.
making a bad decision of some sort. So you at least clean that up. Now, all of a sudden, against the Raiders, you reared your ugly head again from an offensive perspective.
Two turnovers, right, for the offense?
Manning's interception.
And the Hillis fumble.
The Hillis
fumble.
Those
are the two, right?
Correct. Those were two, and then the special teams issue was the Jernigan.
Right,
that was
obviously.
Three turnovers.
Right. I was talking more on the offensive mm-hmm. side of the ball. So there you go. 201-939-4513. Jamal's out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jamal, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What do you got?
Hey, happy Veterans Day for all the troops out there. And, you know, first of all, one thing I want to say, man, Eli, look, man, running backs get punished, running backs get benched. I know we can't do the same thing with Eli when they turn the ball over. But I don't know who the quarterback coach is right now, but just from watching him, and I'm a high school coach. I'm a high school coach. I play D1 ball, play DB. One thing I teach my kids, and one thing you know as a DB, and when you're in your back pedal and when you're breaking, is you want to look at the you want to be able to look, be able to have that peripheral vision of the receiver and the quarterback. And when the quarterback is just looking one way, and it's not even looking, like Eli doesn't seem like he's looking. So it seems like DBs are able to jump underneath routes on receivers, because on that underneath route, I think Cruz is running an out or a 10-yard out. He didn't even look to see if Cruz was there or not, and the DB was able to jump it because Eli just looked and threw it. He didn't even give time to see how far Cruz was going to go, where the DBs were lined up at. He just looked and threw it because he expected Cruz to be there. And that's the issue I have with Eli. He's been doing it years after years, expecting receivers to be in areas, and it's costing him in the long run. You know, it's not they're not actually there because a DB jumped it. A DB's actually playing the way they're supposed to play, being aggressive and jumping routes. And Eli continues to find himself in this predicament by not looking at receivers. And where they at. I was watching the Drew Brees game yesterday. I'm in the Saints and Cowboys game. And there were so many times Drew Brees actually saw his receiver. He wasn't just throwing it, hoping they would be there. He was looking at the receivers, check it down, or doing whatever he can do to make sure the receiver is in that area, in that zone area, so where the receiver can catch the ball. Now, I just think the coaches need to continue to work with Eli on that, because it seems like that seems to be our Achilles heels right now.
Well, he's rushing a lot of his throws. I think that goes without saying. And part of it is because he's feeling so much pressure, specifically in this last game against the Raiders. Though, to play devil's advocate, on the flip side, I think when you play with a receiver long enough, and your decision-making needs to be on point as a quarterback, but you also
Right.
need to feel as if you throw the ball out there, whether or not it be a perfect pass, that your wide receivers are going to make plays for you. And I think across the board
Right.
this season, I think it's fair to say the wide receivers haven't been as aggressive as they need to be at times.
Well, my other thing is too this. My other thing is, I agree with the other caller. Talk about Andre Brown receiving. I didn't expect him to get 30 carries in the first game back. Boy, was he a monster yesterday. I mean, carrying people for the first down and those type of things. But 30 carries, I thought it was too much for him for his first game, no matter how much he wanted it. I didn't know if his body was prepared and ready for it, but we'll see. We'll see how things go from there. The other thing is our special teams. If we can get our special teams on track, Eli, from throwing these picks, I mean – We're in the hunt. Somehow we are in the hunt, and we're giving an opportunity. And as an athlete, that's all you ask for, just an opportunity.
and we want to take full advantage of it.
Hey, Jamal,
you know,
great point.
Defense is balling. Antoine Roll is doing his thing. It seemed like D-line came alive yesterday, at least to me. We maintained Pryor, who was supposed to be coming in as the best running quarterback in the NFL, and we contained him. Whether he was hampered with an injury or not, we contained him, and right now we're in an opportunity to make some things happen. We've got to take advantage of it.
Well said, Jamal.
I think he's all over, and I agree with Jamal 100%. One of our best callers. Big fan. But, look, he's right. The Giants have an opportunity here. And the opportunity they've been given, quite frankly, in a lot of ways, might not be one they've even deserved with the way they've played a lot this year. But they have it, and now it's up to them to take advantage of it. They got to beat the Packers next week, by the way. Our boy NYG Cap Central, at NYG Cap Central on Twitter. And by the way, you guys really want ins and outs of salary cap stuff for your Giant fans out there, you should follow him. He really does an excellent job. And Matt Flynn working out for the Packers today.
Are you getting something under the table here?
I'm not.
Because
just,
that's another pat on the back.
He gives good information.
I'm surprised that you're giving it to somebody else, because normally you're patting yourself on the back.
He does a much better job of the cap stuff than I do.
He's always in the conversation on Giants.com/Big Blue Kickoff Live, which is our show page.
Matt Flynn.
You get a nice stream of all the tweets. Though they are working on Matt Flynn, which I expected. I was calling for them to do that because he has familiarity with the system. Mike McCarthy already, though, has named Scott Tolzien the starting quarterback against the Giants.
Maybe Tolzien plays poorly for a quarter and a half. Did they make a move?
The biggest issue regarding Matt Flynn has been the elbow troubles dating back to when he was signing with the Seahawks.
And I'm sure they'll test his arm strength today in those workouts.
That's exactly what they need to see. They need to see whether or not he's worth bringing in. At this point, though, they got nothing to lose, considering Rodgers and Seneca Wallace are already down.
Two more calls before we say goodbye. We got two on the line. We'll take them. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's up, Len?
Good, good, good. Well, I just want to remind you guys, the Giants are 3-0 when I wear my Bruno Mars wristband. I'm going to keep hoping here. But
now, Len, you know, it's funny. You have that superstition, and I haven't actually talked about this in the show yet, I don't think. But 3 weeks ago when the Giants played the Vikings, it was still Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I was trying to, you know, get into the spirit of things, but I don't have any pink shirts. Uh-huh. So I wore, accidentally, not remembering the Giants were playing the Vikings that night, I wore a purple shirt to the game, and I got a lot of heat for it. So since then, since the Giants won that game, I've been forced by my coworkers and everybody else in the building to wear a suit representing the colors of the opposing team to each game, and I have. Now, here's the problem. I do not have a Green Bay Packers suit. This is going to be a big problem this week because I'm not buying a suit. It's going to be a struggle.
You got to get to the store.
Send me a check, Len. I'll go and I'll do it.
Recent ad campaign reads, it's only weird when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think Len's right, John. I've been telling you, we got to get your green suit.
Oh, you got to get – come on, John.
No excuses now.
Come on, you got to
go. You got to go full out here.
You got to go full out. Listen, you know, as nice as it is to, you know, to win a football game and to beat 3-6 and still be in, you got to remain positive. But, geez, we dug ourselves into quite a hole, guys. Wow. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost like you look at it and you look at the schedule and you say, oh, my gosh. You know, I've not given up. I'm hanging in there. Just keep playing every play as hard as you can and look up on December 29th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. See what the score is and where you are in the standings. You know, one thing, you alluded to the weather conditions yesterday. You know, I got to tell you, that was a bad weather day.
It was nasty. The wind, it rained a little bit. It was chilly. It was a bad day.
I mean, it was, but, you know, mostly the wind. I mean, you can deal with the rain. You know, you deal with stormy weather and so forth, but I tell you, over a 37, 38, 39-year period of time in the Meadowlands, playing football games out there, geez, we get some terrible weather conditions, and it's mostly the wind. I'm not making any excuses for the kicker or the quarterback. I'm just saying that it was pretty bad yesterday. It was pretty bad. It was tough to play. But, you know, the bottom line, guys, we have just got to play better. I mean, the people we're putting out on the field, and we're putting our best – I believe we're putting our best players on the field.
I agree.
We're not going to see any changes. Tom's not going to make any changes. Randall's going to return punts. He's just going to go with these guys, and I think rightly so, because these are the best guys we've got. But, I mean, we've got to play better. The offensive line, particularly the left side of that offensive line, Booth and Beatty have just got to play better.
You know, Lennon, I'm happy you brought that up, and I don't want to be the human wet blanket here and dampen Giant fans after winning three straight games or anything. But to me, this team is still making some of the same mistakes, and they have some of the same problems that they had when they lost six straight games to start the season.
Yep.
And the only difference, and I stress this, the only difference is that they're playing worse teams that haven't been able to take advantage
yes.
of those Giants' mistakes. And that will change
yes.
the final seven games of the year.
Yeah, it will. These teams are going to get better. And if we want to win two, maybe three more games, we are going to have to play a lot better. There's nobody on the bench who's going to come in and magically turn things around. I mean, these guys have got to play better. And maybe given that we've got a number of home games here late season, we're going to get, suspect weather conditions. Maybe we resort to the so-called Giants football and we run the ball more. You know, and it could be there's going to be some days when we're absolutely going to have to do that. I mean, because field position then becomes important. And what end you're driving toward in the fourth quarter starts making a big difference. But, hey, I'm happy with 3-6. It could be worse. But we have won three in a row. Go get that green outfit. I got my Bruno Mars wristband. And, let's go Giants. But the bottom line is, it's not just the quarterback. We got a lot of guys that are underperforming. We just got to play. And I think the talent's there. I think it's there.
And, Len, it's funny. I think you mentioned one of the guys that had a bad game yesterday. And, I'm a big fan of his. So the fact that I'm saying this, it should be all the info the fans out there need. Kevin Booth did not play well yesterday. He had one of his worst games I've seen as a Giant, to be quite honest with you.
He's got to play better. I think he can play better. But he has not had he's not had a good season. Beatty has not had a good season. The last couple of weeks have been a little better. But, he's got to start dominating some of these players. The pass rush. Eli's just got to throw the ball better. I mean, you can go down the whole list. Weatherford's got to punt the ball better. I mean, you can go down the whole list. I think the frustrating part of this whole thing for me is I think the talent's there. And, again, terrible hole, 0-6. But I just want to see the talent come out in these guys over the last seven games of the season.
Thanks,
okay,
Len.
Let's go. Packers are next. Let's go, guys.
Appreciate it. Lance, if you want to write me a check, I'll go buy a green suit.
I'm not paying
for a green suit.
We'll start up a fund just to get you a green suit. Well, you have a choice. You either go the route of a green suit or you go gold, yellow suit, and then a green shirt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have a yellow shirt, and I kind of have it's not green, but it's kind of like a almost a brown olive kind of colored suit. I mean, that's one way
you're getting warmer, but that's still a stretch.
I have a white shirt I could wear with a yellowish golden sports coat. I could do that with a green tie. Would that meet your expectations?
That would be a nice blend of all three colors for the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
But I think that you need to amp it up a little bit. That's somewhat conservative, I would say. Need to liberalize the wardrobe.
Well, this is one guy that knows all about wardrobes, and that's Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's going on?
Fellas, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Dave. Still laughing over that Facebook page, but I'm doing well.
Come on, man. Did you see where he went to school?
I did not. Where did he go to school?
It went to No Chicks University, man.
And for those of you, by the way, who don't know what we're talking about, I'm probably going to have to retweet it. Dave from Rochester, one of our faithful listeners, creates a Facebook page about Paul Dottino's white pants. Paul Dottino showcased the white pants because the team wore that against the Raiders for the first time since 1999.
It's like a good luck charm, man. You see what his favorite movies? Powder and Liza Minnelli, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. Dave, you did an excellent job. I think one of my favorite ones was the outside interest mustaches. I like that one, too.
Mustaches and Nikes.
Yes.
Those two.
Oh, man, that's great. But just my thoughts were, going the next 2 weeks, it's a pretty good situation because I think Dallas
after yesterday's game, they've given up 500 yards on offense. I think yesterday was the fourth or fifth game, I believe.
I believe it is the fifth time a quarterback's thrown for 400 yards, and I think the fourth time they've given up 500 yards of offense. So it's been bad.
And I think Jerry Jones now is kind of commenting about that situation. So I think sometimes when he starts talking, the team can go either way. They either get really motivated or sometimes they just start to fall apart. And then the Packers next week, you know, they got a lot of injuries. I didn't get to watch the game. I wanted to see if you guys watched it and what your thoughts were and how did they look.
The Packers or the Cowboys you're talking about?
The Packers.
Well, the game was up against the Giants, so I didn't have much of an opportunity to see it. I'm going to go back, watch some highlights, and watch some parts of the game a little later and throughout the rest of this week. I would say from what I read and from what I've been told, you know, clearly the defense, I think, has taken somewhat of a step back, and part of that is because of the fact that the offense is not doing enough to win the battle in time of possession and to keep the defense out of harm's way.
Yeah, defense on the field too much. They have to make too many stops because a lot of three and outs. But I believe, Dave, one thing you should note is that the Packer defense this year compared to the last couple of years is much improved. They're a much better defensive team. So the Giants will not move the ball up and down the field like they have against the Packers in years past.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you.
You got it, Dave. Right, and keep up the work in social media. We expect to keep it at a very high level the rest of the way.
Does Paul Dottino follow you on Twitter yet?
No, he has not followed me on Twitter.
Wow. He even works with you on the radio pre and post
game.
He still doesn't follow you?
It's disrespect. And by the way, I like the chippiness that you showed him yesterday on the pregame show. What a way to fight back.
And who ended up being right about that, by the way?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, sometimes you got to keep
this guy
other people out of check.
Well, that's me patting myself on the back.
Well, I don't need to do that for you. You can do that for yourself. But I did enjoy that.
He was giving me attitude.
I saw.
He was dismissing my point of view. And look, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But don't dismiss my point of view.
There's some tension growing between the two of you.
There
see,
is.
I thought the tension was between him and I.
Nah,
but Paul
and I had a little tension
the
after
way.
The broadcast, too. We're doing okay.
We're going to have to start revealing some
of these
things.
I felt Paul
was
a little too positive after the game.
Well, you
That's
know
okay.
Paul. Very passionate about Giants football. Everybody knows that. We don't need to state the obvious.
Very quickly, I want to touch, and I just knocked your recorder down.
You're killing me.
I know I am. I want to touch very quickly on the Sunday night game last night, only because it affects the Giants in their quest for the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys are a mess right now defensively. And, boy, if I'm the Cowboys and they don't find a way to win the division this year when it basically was a gift wrap for them on a silver platter, Lance, and I'm Jerry Jones, and I happen to think that Jason Garrett is actually a pretty good coach. I think he goes about things the right way. I think he's a guy that relates to the players well. He's brought the right type of players in down there in Dallas. But if they find a way to throw this division away, if you're the Cowboys, with the Giants starting 0-6, the Eagles, all the issues they had, and the Redskins being as bad as they are, I mean, don't you almost have to not only clean house with the coaching staff, but really think about just starting that whole thing over from scratch? I mean, you really got to think about it. And look, it's not Tony Romo's fault, but maybe you can trade Tony Romo to a team for some draft picks that needs a quarterback. He's still got 3 or 4 very good years in him. Maybe you have to move DeMarcus Ware. And their salary cap situation is to the point where
they got pennies.
They have nothing for 3 years. They're completely strapped. So do you want to continue along this 7-9, 8-8 path for 3 more years? And look, they have some good players on defense, but clearly they've proven that they can't stay healthy. Whether it's Sean Lee or DeMarcus Ware now, these guys cannot stay healthy. They're hurt all the time. And if you're the Cowboys, you are really going to have to make a big decision about the direction of your franchise when this season is over. Because, once again, unless they can put things together and figure out a way to win this division, that has been more or less handed to them based on the play of the other teams in the division, you have to think about some serious changes.
They've got to be scratching their heads right now, because I looked at the standings a few weeks ago and I see the Giants are 0-6, and that's a nice comfort to know that you don't have to deal with the Giants potentially moving forward. And you look at the standings as everybody wakes up on this Monday morning and you see that the Cowboys have one less loss than the New York Giants. And that's very hard to believe that a team that was 0-6, and you know this is one of the most dangerous teams that you've had trouble going up against in seasons past, that wouldn't give you enough motivation to run away with this division and make sure that the Giants are no longer in the conversation. And now, all of a sudden, you're 2 weeks away from potentially ending up tied with them. That's got to be frustrating.
And they've been in games they should have won, but they've lost. They could have very easily won that Detroit Lions game. They could have very easily beaten the Kansas City Chiefs.
The
they very easily could have beaten the Denver Broncos. But they found ways to lose all those games. And that, if anything, we've joked about this before. The one thing the Cowboys have always done in the past 10 years, let's say, they find ways to lose games. They're in games. They show they have the talent to play with these other teams and win football games and play with the best teams in the league. But in the end, they find a way to lose the games that they need to win if they want to be considered better than a mediocre football team. And people want to blame Tony Romo for it all the time. Well, he's having an unbelievable year this year throwing the football. And it's been the defense. They find different ways to lose. Sometimes it's Romo. Sometimes it's the defense. Sometimes it's special teams. Sometimes it's turnovers. They just find ways to lose a game. And at some point, you have to change the culture. And to change the culture, you got to change coaches and you have to change players. And I think that's where Dallas probably is right now.
Well, you brought up the fact that, you know, maybe they should trade Tony Romo and look at other options. I'll be honest with you. I look at this offense, John. I see a tremendous amount of firepower. I think there's plenty of other offenses out there that would die for some of the personnel that Tony Romo has around him. And I know necessarily everybody hasn't lived up to expectations. To me, the biggest downfall of that team has been their defense.
Oh, no question. My only point with the Romo thing was that if you want to blow things up, that's how you blow things up. Because he takes up a lot of cap space, so does DeMarcus Ware. And if you want to start over, you can't have guys taking up $17, $18 million on your cap. That's how you start over. You know me. I take heat from Giant fans for this all the time. I think Romo was an excellent quarterback. I think he's a good player. He's not the problem. But if you want to blow things up and start over, you start at the top, and that's why I would look at Romo.
No, you can't afford to have three or four guys, like you mentioned, that eat up so much space, and then you can't round out the rest of your roster with the complementary players. Then again, you can approach Tony and say, listen, you know, are you willing to maybe take a pay cut so that we can tweak the defense? Because Tony Romo eventually has to know that he can't win it all himself. He needs the guys on the other side of the football to do some of the heavy lifting.
Same with DeMarcus Ware. Ask him to take a pay cut. You can do all those things. But look, I think Giant fans, too, could take a lesson from this, where they always complain that Jerry Reese doesn't bring in these big-name free agents and all this stuff in the offseason. Well, when you do stuff like that, a.k.a. Brandon Carr for the Cowboys, for example, you don't have the cap space to have any flexibility. The Cowboys are $30 million over the cap next year. They have almost $15 million in dead money. It's a mess. So just be happy you're not in that situation. Tomorrow we'll go through the picks, Lance. I'll pop in at some point. You'll have the show. We'll take your calls. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Good job on Twitter. Good job as well on the phones as well. So, Lance, excellent job. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
And later on today, you can check out Giants.com. Sean O'Hara and I will break down the three plays that changed the game. And you'll see some stuff later on in the week as well from Sean and from Coach Coughlin as well that we'll shoot today in the studio down the hall. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Have a good one.